first to welcome my co-host, Paul Hollis, author of the Hollow Man series, owner of Hollow Man Publishing and American May VA. Paul, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
I'm really excited today. I'm excited to welcome Susan Linton-Smith. She is actually an ex-CEO of some very famous companies that you would know. And she also has a children's book series. So welcome, Susan.
Welcome. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, Susan, like talking about the whole process of what a day of a CEO's life's like. I mean, I know my day is crazy and I'm a CEO of the smaller companies than yours, but it seems like I'm trying to make it as crazy as the day. How did you manage yourself with some of these companies as CEO? And then we're going to get into your book.
Yeah, fortunately, I can multitask and handle a lot at the same time, but I will tell you that it is a little bit about issues and crisis management. As you know, it's somewhat planned and you have your regular set meetings. And then sometimes it's always the unexpected, right? And it's handling those things that come along, that whether it's a crisis with a franchisee or whether it's something that you just totally don't expect. But that's what I loved about it. It's just, you know, it's fun and it's every day it's a little bit different. There's no typical day.
You nailed it. That's exactly what my time now, either I'm interviewing a national celebrity or someone that's done some amazing work, or then I'm going ahead on coaching calls with my clients, talking about things or working with my team. And then people come out of the woodwork that I didn't expect on my calendar at all. And sometimes I decide, yeah, they can come on, right? Because we're looking on working on some projects. And other times we're like, no, they can't. That's the challenge, right? Because your day it's so fast. You blink and it's over. And with you're always in the office at that time, or maybe not, that basically there's always a meeting or something that you're doing in your downtime to make sure that you strategize and prepare for another meeting, right? And that's it. And then something else comes that you say, okay, I'm dropping everything and going with that.
You're right. The regular time is just planning for meetings, having meetings, and then the post follow-up. And then everything else that happens in between are the unexpected that you just deal with. It's you know, being a person in the business world.
And I never thought I could do this. And now I'm learning I can do this. Before I was a one-man show. Now I'm no longer a one-man show, but also I'm looking at multiple projects and multiple companies because I decided this is where I'm going. But that means there's a lot of work day. There's a long work day. How do you make sure you stop for the day when you're a CEO? What came up with the way it says, okay, this is my stopgap time. This is when I'm ending my day, because it could never end. As we've seen stories of them on, you know, on TV where it's 3:30 in the morning, they're waking up and they're not done until 11, 12 o'clock at night. It's crazy. Some people are still rolling like that at their younger ages. Yeah.
Yeah. It's discipline. You have to force yourself to stop. I get asked a lot, how did you balance? Like when I had two young kids and I was taking care of parents and I was running a company, how do you do it? And first off, you know, there's no such thing as a one-man show anymore, right? You have to have a team, but you also have to have the discipline to say, I need to stop and this is now me time, or this is family time. And it takes discipline. And I wasn't very good at it back in the day. So now I preach it when I coach other people about how to achieve balance and really focus on health and wellness in your nutrition, and don't put yourself last, right? Making sure that you take care of yourself while you're doing all these other things at the same time.
So no more, are you ever going to go back to the corporate world as a CEO, or you're done in that?
You know, I never say never for the right opportunity. You know what? I'm not finished. So if the right opportunity came along, I love it. I love the fast pace. And I love the business world. What I'm doing right now is working with a local franchisee for European Wax Center, and sitting on boards. So I am doing volunteer work and doing coaching. So keeping myself busy, but like I said, never say never. I might go back.
So I did not know about the whole sitting on boards thing until I watched, it was the story. I never knew about the boardroom at all until I watched the story of Uber, like the series that was on, I think Showtime, and ended up putting on Netflix. That blew me away about how a board works. So a lot of times CEOs are done and are asked to be on boards, and people don't understand when you're on a board in a corporation, you get a piece of the pie if that business performs well. So it's a catch 22, right? You have to prepare yourself and work through that whole board to make sure it's meeting the needs for the people that are the shareholders, right? And that's challenging, yes. Right? Because I was watching that just what happened in Uber, the story of the CEO of Uber. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I want to learn more about this. And so these things aren't taught in the schools, that's for sure.
That's true. And it is, I think, a future for a lot of executives who say, someday I just want to sit on boards, thinking that it could just be quarterly meetings. And it's so much more than that. It really is. You have, if you're on a public board, you have a lot of fiscal responsibilities to your shareholders. And if you're on a private board, you have an ownership that you typically represent, and you're doing your best every day just to make sure that you're being that governance and that steward and helping to grow the business. But it's great. All right. It's rewarding. I highly recommend it.
Okay. And so is it rewarding? Do you get equity in those companies when you're sitting on boards?
Yes. Yes. And it just depends on the board you sit in, and it just depends on whether you make money, whether you can help grow the company. But yes, I mean, typically you do have skin in the game.
And then that means the preparation, as we talked about. And that's intriguing to look at those things, because you never know how founders get ousted, right, as a board.
Yes, that does happen sometimes, yes.
And then you bring the right people in to help grow the company, and they're like, we don't want you anymore. So that's where the process begins. Okay, let's talk about your book now. I appreciate having those questions. I know we're talking about the book now, but that's just so intriguing. I love to go from, you know, just watching it on TV to then the real world of the explanation of it and saying, I'm sure I'm going to end up on a board someday. But that is just an intriguing thing. But let's go into why a children's book and why did you write that? What was the whole reasoning for it?
Yeah. And I like to say that I went from climbing the corporate ladder to fall on the couch, because my series is called Under the Couch. And I have 12 books that I have self-published. And I just kind of going back, I lost my job as the CEO for Elements Massage. So very much what you were just talking about. And it was right as COVID hit. So it was one of those times in your life where I go from working nonstop to all of a sudden I'm like, I am home and I don't know what to do with myself because I'm used to being so busy. But this was always a bucket list for me. I used to tell my sons, I have two boys, and I used to come home from work and be so tired and I'm not going to read a book. And so I used to make up stories for them based on those two going on adventures. And I always said, you know, someday I'd like to write these books to leave behind to them. And I had no idea it was going to be a series of 12. Or that I would self-publish them, or I would do it while I was not retired. But it gave me the opportunity. That's, you know, COVID is an advantage to some people. It was my advantage to say, now is the time. And I got it done in about 3.5 years. So I'm really proud of the series.
Okay. So you got the whole series done. Does that mean you're finished writing children's books?
No. And I'm one of those people that I may go back and rewrite them at some point, but I do have them out there. No, you know, some people say, why didn't you write a business book? You know, you're in the business world. Why didn't you write a business book? Why children's books? And I can tell you, I don't even read business books anymore. There are so many, and so many of my friends are doing it really well. So I'm not finished, because it is a wonderful creative outlet. It has been so much fun and such a great learning experience for anybody who has written a book. What a learning experience. You can write presentations and memos, but writing a book, and writing a book for my audience has been so, so interesting. And like I said, just a growth experience.
So tell me about the children's book.
So yeah, so it's a series. So there's 12, and it's really, it's fiction fantasy. So it's about two boys based on my sons, age 7 and age 10, who discovered the secrets of a couch when they move at the beginning of the summer. So horrible time for a 10-year-old to move, right? It's at the beginning, and this is based on real facts of what happened in our family. But it's about the 10-year-old who really is very shy, doesn't have much confidence, and he gets moved and he leaves his friends and has to start a new school for fifth grade. He's really not happy, He's with his younger brother who drives him crazy. They fight all the time, and they get a nanny to boot for the summer who he thinks is really strange. An old nanny at the age of his mother, and this has happened in real life. And he's like, this is not the summer I wanted. So he's very grumpy. But it takes place over a summer. And it's about growth of these two brothers, about their relationship and personal growth, because they learn through experiences. They learn from going on these adventures, real life experiences or real life lessons based on the experiences they have. Because as a parent, we know you can tell your kids things all day long, but unless they experience it, they really don't learn it.
No, exactly. So it's such important. It's experiential. You have to observe. It's such an important thing with your kids to observe what your job is. A lot of times when they're in the car with me, I'm still doing calls because I want them to know this is what dad does. Because a lot of people are like, what do you do? Well, it's a lot of things, but it's not the average normal 9-to-5 job.
My boys have learned so much about business from watching what I've done, right? And they know what they don't want to do. And they're like, I don't want to sit in front of a computer all day or in meetings all day. And I'm like, then go this way. Don't go this way. Because they learn from watching you, but it's not from what you tell them, right? And so the important thing from these books that I'm really proud of, so you might ask, like, what's the why behind them?
Yes.
So my boys both, and they're okay if I say this, but they both are ADHD and dyslexic. So very, very bright kids. But my 20-year-old, and he's a sophomore in college, has never read a book in his entire life.
Oh my gosh.
Picking up a book. Yeah, I know all his English teachers who are listening to this are probably like, what? But picking up a book is too daunting for him, right? It's too hard. So when I wrote these books, I wrote it in mind with that kind of disorganized mind and the mind that struggles with reading. And so I wrote them really for they call it the reluctant reader, whether it's somebody who's 8 who's a reluctant reader or somebody who's 20. But it's easy enough. It's at the second or third grade level. So I did the Lexile, you know, scoring. But it's interesting enough for like a 10 to 12 year old.
Right.
So yeah. So it's very easy. The books are all like a little over 100 pages. Each of them, there's 12 books, there's 12 chapters per book. It starts in the morning, ends at night, very organized, very easy to read.
So do you add a little bit, I don't know, because you have kids, you probably read Joey Pigs's books, right? Because that's big ADHD thing. You have not.
I didn't.
You have to look at Joey Pigs's. That was a big thing when I was a school teacher, and his was an ADHD kid, and he had different experiences. When I was a fourth grade teacher, I first went and student taught and learned about those different books, you know, come to Captain Underpants, but another one was Joey Pigza. And, you know, and what Joey Pigza would do is always get in trouble because he had ADHD. Yeah. He's a good kid, but every time made the wrong decisions because of ADHD. And it's a superpower. I have it, and I'll flat out tell people I have it. And it's because I can do more things in one day than some people could do in a lifetime. And that's...
I'm undiagnosed, but may have it too. I don't know. I've been told. But you know what? That's why I love the superpower that you said that, because in my, I think it's the 9th book, they tease, we find out through the series that it's actually the oldest who has focus issues. We don't really call it ADHD, but you know that he's always off in space and he loves space. So it's kind of, I kind of use it that way as well. But the 7-year-old can't read, and the brother's always teasing him, you can't read, you're stupid. So you find out that, no, he's actually really, really smart. And he solves problems in a book called Castles for the King and Queen, because he sees things differently. So it's really taking your weaknesses and making and seeing them as strengths. And that's part of the lessons too.
You think as CEOs, like you, how you're different than the average person, in certain ways, the skill sets Elon Musk, you look at it, Jeff Bezos, you look at Mark Zuckerberg, you look at even some of the others, they're all different in certain ways, but they have something so different that lots of people don't have, because you have to be able to make decisions at the drop of a hat doing this. I'm so glad I taught for X amount of years, because when I taught, I had to make in a classroom thousands of decisions every day. And it was so daunting on me. But now I'm thanking myself for that, because of what I have to do on a regular basis, everything thrown at me all day, even though I love it, teaching, I would say it felt like a job. This feels like an adventure, what I've created. It's just things are thrown at you. And then I throw something else at. And then when I was with one of my colleagues one time, she complained all the time about when I had problems. And I said, guess what? That's just part of it. There are going to be problems, but there are a lot of good things that are going to happen every day in a crazy 12, 13 hour day or more. But the stuff that is good is stuff that no one else gets to experience. No one. And that's where I think the role of a CEO, if you'd say, okay, yeah, we're going to have times where it's really rough. We're having a lot of good times, but it's not going to be this even keel. And that's where our young people today, when you talked about your kids and one of your kids said, they don't want to be in front of a computer 12 hours a day. It's because they want experiences and they don't want to put some of those pain, like we understand pain, to gain pleasure. And we know that you have to put that forth, that effort to reach the promised land in some sort of way in your success.
And you know, from teaching, especially this age group, that kids learn through experiences, right? They don't necessarily learn from reading it. They learn from experiencing it. And that's really the theme of these books. And I love how you say that the problems is becomes the opportunities. I mean, we don't grow unless we face these problems, right?
Yeah.
We have our biggest growth. So I love that. But the other thing about this is, and it's really through the 10-year-old character, his lack of confidence. So a lot of this is about self-love too, in a way that's not preachy, but trying for, like in the fifth book, it's called Flipped. And he's always jealous of his brother, who's just outgoing. He can make friends like crazy. And he's not. He's quieter. He has troubles. And in book five in their adventure, they're flipped in their personalities. And it's about, wow, I didn't like that. And learning to accept yourself, right? Everything that you have, in that your challenges really become strengths. And so this series, it starts at the very beginning with, you know, him really struggling. And at the end, him looking forward to going to school and accepting and loving himself. And I think that's important for not just kids, but for all of us, right? Is
100%.
Yeah.
It's definitely a thing. Voice, And I think it really tells that story. And that's important. Have you done any readings in schools? I'm sure you want to now with COVID being over, it's a little bit easier. I have a colleague that's been trying to work on doing that.
Yes, that is one of my goals and one of my plans is I was so focused on just like writing these books and getting them all done and getting them illustrated.
Well, I hope I can help you with my connects. So
I would love that.
We're going to talk. I mean, what you bring is knowledge. When are you writing your memoir? That's coming, right?
That's coming.
You got to have a memoir or you need to have one more other CEO opportunity.
When my
company goes public and I hire you as my CEO, then we'll think about it. You never know, but you just got to have those dreams.
We're going to work together.
Because it's dreams are a reality. All right. Yeah. So best place people can purchase your book, where can they go?
Well, on Amazon, you can go on Amazon and look up, you know, just Google Linton Smith and they'll pop up. Or you can go on underthecouchbooks.com. Okay. So this whole thing is about Under the Couch, but it's underthecouchbooks.com.
Thank you, Susan. Such a great conversation.
Thanks. Oh my gosh, I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back just a moment.